A 1997 American Heart Association article, which was based on Susan Everson's research, shared the following, that people who experienced high levels of despair had a 20% greater occurrence of hardening of the arteries than did optimistic people. In fact, this is the same magnitude of increased risk that one sees when they compare a pack-a-day smoker with a non-smoker. In other words, despair can be as bad for you as smoking one pack of cigarettes a day. This is a very simple opening point for me. We need hope. We need hope in our lives. In fact, I believe God created us to be a people of hope. It says as much in the scripture. And for us to walk in hope is to walk in healing. It's to walk in grace. It's to walk in faith. It's to walk in the power and the presence of God. For you and I to walk in despair is to walk in fear. It's to walk in a constant struggle. It's to walk in anxiety. And so many people are walking in that despair on a constant basis today that it is literally killing them, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. The good news I have for you here today is that we have a hope that we can receive from the Holy Spirit. It's not an empty hope. It's not a word that I'll simply share today and hopefully we'll just go out in one ear and out the other. But it says in the scripture today that it is a hope that will not disappoint us. It is a hope that has stood the test of time. It is a hope that has been proven and one that will deepen our trust that God is who God says he is and can be depended upon. Look at your second lesson today in Romans. I'm going to be there today. And in this particular scripture, the Apostle Paul shares the following. We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that sufferings produce perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You'll notice in the scripture today that Paul outlines a progression in the human life. And one of the realities for all of us as human beings is that suffering is part of the deal. Like you, I wish it weren't so. I hate suffering. I wish everything was just as smooth as glass. I wish I would wake up in the morning and go to bed at night with not a worry or a care or a concern in my life. That everything, the bank account was full, everybody was great, and there would never, ever be any suffering. Amen. End of the message. Thank you, Ruth. But that is not the human experience, is it? It's not real. It's not how our life is. And in fact, the reality is God uses our sufferings. It's interesting here, the apostles, Paul says something crazy. Something absolutely insane. He says, we also rejoice in our sufferings. You got to be kidding me. Rejoice in our sufferings. Is Paul a masochist? A sadist? Does he get off on suffering and pain? But you see, you have to read the rest of the verse. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Beloved, if you have been getting off of the train at the suffering stop, you've gotten off at the wrong place. You know, some people have built a mansion in the condo group called suffering. That's the place where you live. That's your house. That's what you keep telling everybody about. But you need to read the rest of the story. Suffering is only the beginning of what God will hopefully use in your life and my life to produce an even greater fruit, to break us, to bring us to our knees before him, that we might be birthed deep within us something great for the glory of God. And so look at this progression today. Read it, mark it, take it home with you. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. A very special kind of hope from God. A hope that the world cannot give to you. It is a hope that will not disappoint you. It's a hope that has stood the test and found itself to be powerful and mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. So who is this Apostle Paul to be writing about suffering? I mean, why should you believe him anyways? This one verse in Romans is really nice. It's almost cliche-ish. And you could easily, again, hear it and forget about it and just discount it as of no avail in your life, that Paul does not know what he's talking about. But I would beg to differ. And so would the Word of God. Write this scripture down too. 2 Corinthians 11, 24 and on. You want to read that verses later on about what Paul went through in his life. He writes these words. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. As you read the history about scourgings and floggings during the time of Paul, it was not unusual for a person to go through that just one time and die before they reached the 39th lash. That's how horrific this flogging was. And Paul went through it 5 times. Incredible. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. And if you read the story about this stoning, the crowd left him after they stoned him because they thought he was dead. All right, he's finished. He's done with. He's not, doesn't seem to be breathing anymore. We can go home and have our dinner now. Right? You know, it's my personal belief, I don't know this for sure, but it's my belief that God's hand was on Paul in the midst of his sufferings. That Paul was at death's door many times, but God said, not yet. God said, not yet. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to fill you with my grace and my glory to be a testimony to me. I'm not done yet. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. Being a Navy guy, I can't even imagine what that was like, and it was probably during a storm. In my frequent journeys, I've been in danger from rivers and bandits, from my countrymen and Gentiles, in danger in the city and country, in danger on the sea and among false brothers, in labor and toil and often without sleep, in hunger and thirst and often without food, in cold and exposure. I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is led into sin and I do not burn with grief? Beloved, I believe the Apostle Paul has suffered like no other Christian. Look at his story. Look at what he went through in his own life. Look at the beatings that he went through and the suffering that he endured. He is one Christian that has suffered more than any other Christian. And this is not to minimize what you have been through. This is not to make light of your suffering or the suffering of any Christian, because it is precious in the eyes of the Lord. But just know this, Paul is an authority on suffering. More than anybody else in this place, more than anybody alive in the world right now, Paul is an authority on suffering. He knows what he's talking about. And with authority, he writes in Romans, suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and hope that does not disappoint us, with the love of God being poured out into our lives. You know why Paul wrote those words? Not because he was trying to come up with a good ditty for a Hallmark card. Not because it kind of rhymed and he put all the words together. He wrote this down because this was his personal experience. This is what he learned through the journey of his life in terms of what God was birthing in his life through the suffering. And that's why he rejoiced in it, because he knew ultimately what God was going to do, that God was going to get the glory and God was going to bring Paul into an even deeper place in him. You know, Paul made it through his sufferings because he persevered. How many times in your life and in my life have we simply wanted to give up? God, I've had enough. Just put me out of my misery, please. I'll do whatever you want if you just put me out of my misery, please, with a cherry on top. And the people that we know in the midst of great suffering have already given up in the depth of their heart. You know what it's like, as I do, to see someone who is hopeless. You see it in their eyes. You feel it in their presence. You sense it in their surrounding. There's just a sense of despair. There's hopelessness. There's like a wall there. They've given up. And they have their reasons for that. But it is real, it is powerful, and true for them. But God can make a difference. You see, suffering is part of our life, but we need to press into the next step, and that is to persevere. If you're not dead yet, God is not through with you yet. As much as you want that to be the case, all right? If you're still breathing, there's a reason. And what God wants you and I to do is to stop wallowing in our pity party of suffering and woe is me, and to get back on his glory train and begin to persevere. Begin to press into God. God, what's up? Here I am. I don't know why this is happening to me. I'm suffering. Hear my cry, O Lord. Give me the strength to keep on going, even though I don't want to. You see, Paul made it through his sufferings because God gave him the grace to persevere. I know for a fact some of you should be dead. I visited your hospital beds, came to give you last rites, and you're still here. And that's because of God, it's not because of me. Some of you should be dead, but you're not. Because God's calling you to persevere, to press into him, and to receive of his help. There's something special about a Christian on their knees, crying out to God in the midst of their suffering, and saying, help. I need your help to persevere. Without you, I'm not going to make it. Finally, God says, finally, you got the clue. You're a hard-headed person. Come on, knock your head a little bit. I'm a hard-headed person. Yes, you are. You're hard-headed. You're stubborn. And God uses sufferings to soften us up. God uses sufferings to finally break through the hard heads and the hardness of our hearts to finally help us to realize without him, we're not going to make it. Amen. I mean, that's how it is. That's what God's seeking to do. And as Paul persevered into God and surrendered to God and said, God, your will be done in my life. I surrender to what you have for me. His character began to develop, you see. He began to become a different person through each suffering he endured. His integrity was deepened. He was strengthened in the inner man by the Spirit of God in a way like he never had before. You see, that's what happens. Suffering after suffering after suffering produces a different Christian each step of the way that is stronger and mightier in the Lord God Almighty. You might crawl into glory, but by God's grace, you're going to get there. Yeah, you might crawl into glory, but by God's grace, you're going to get there. And he became more devoted to God. You know, when God is all you have, and God gets you through, this becomes this. This becomes this. And all the powers of hell will not prevail against that. Hallelujah. Suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. As Paul had a faithful hope in God helping him. You see, he remembered all the other times that God helped him before. Do you have amnesia? I believe this, the people of God have amnesia. It's a spiritual amnesia. You know, God could have delivered you 24 hours ago, and then you're in the midst of something else, and you've forgotten what God did for you 24 hours ago. What's up with you? Instead of what's up with God, what's up? What's up with you? Why don't you remember what God has already done for you in your life? That's a message to you. I've been with you before. Hello, I'm with you now. I have not left, and I'm going to get you through this one as well. I'm with you all the way to the end, all the way into glory. That's how long God is with you and me. He's with us to the end. And you see, Paul had a hope that didn't disappoint him. It was a hope that didn't disappoint because the hope came from God. God is not going to disappoint you. God is not going to let you down. Oh, he might leave you flapping in the wind for a while. You might take a few more rolls in the ship in those heavy seas than you want to endure. You might wonder how many more days you can get up in the morning facing what you're facing. But God will not disappoint you. And that is the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Because then God's love was poured abundantly into his heart through the power of the Holy Spirit, comforting him, pouring a balm upon his heart. You see, God wanted to meet Paul in his sufferings as they deepened and increased. And guess what? God wants to meet you in your sufferings as well. But he can only meet you as you keep going back to him. You have to keep going back to him and back to him and back to him to the point where God says, oh, it's you again. No, he's not going to do that. All he's going to say is, I've been waiting for you. Where you been? And give you a big hug. And again, this is something, beloved, you and I need to grasp. As you and I go through greater and greater sufferings, and we will on this walk, the hugs and the love and the tenderness and the mercy and the anointing and the power just grow greater and greater and greater. A sweet love, a sweet fragrance. I was reading this on a sign just the other day, you know, a perfume is the sound of a flower that has been crushed. As our flowers are crushed, a fragrant offering is lifted up before our Lord and it's pleasing to him. It invites his mercy. He just can't help but come and love you and hug you and just love all over you when that's happening. But you have only to say, come. Not why me, God. I'm angry at you, God. God, you're in timeout now. No, that doesn't work either. I'm not going to pray anymore. I'm not going to read the word. I'm not going to go to church. No, that's not going to work. Get on your knees before God. Get on your knees however many times you have to get on your knees. If you stay on your knees, if you're face down on the ground, stay in the presence of God. There is safety in no other place. And as Paul experienced this hope and this love poured afresh into his heart each time he was crushed, the power of God came forth through him even more strongly. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I will rejoice in my weaknesses, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul was writing what he experienced. And he's inviting you and me into the same experience to embrace the suffering, to rejoice in it, because we know where God is going. God is with us in the valley that he might bring us to the mountain, but it starts in the valley. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to really receive and to be trusted with the graces from the mountain. In the innermost cell of a prison, two men were shackled after being severely beaten with rods, punishment for allegedly causing a riot. With the sounds of a murderous crowd still ringing in their ears, backs and chests bloodied by rods that they had been beaten with, pain still coursing through their bodies from head to toe, they persevered in prayer and sang hymns of praise to God. And as they did, hope and love began to well up in their hearts as the power of the Holy Spirit inhabited their worship in that prison. And it says in the Word of God in Acts 16 that there was a violent earthquake in the prison that shook the foundations of that place. And the prison cells were opened and the shackles on the prisoners' hands were loosed. God showed up in that prison. God heard the praises of his people. And that day, as he came into that prison, he not only set the apostles free, He set everybody else free in that prison. It was a get out of jail free card day that day because God showed up in that moment. God wants to set you free. God is still showing up to the prisons where his people are kept today and setting them free. But he's waiting for something from you. He's waiting for the fragrant offering of your life. He's waiting for that step of faith from the depth of your heart that he'll know is true, of continued prayer, of worship and praise to him in the depth of the prison, with a back that is bleeding, with a heart that is crushed, singing a hymn of praise and worship to Almighty God, believing that God is God of the prison as well as the mountaintop, that Jesus is still Lord in the midst of my sufferings as well as when things are going great, that he might come and pour himself upon you and bless you and empower you by his grace.